mass, God called one man, the name of Abraham. As he scattered and gave languages to all the others and scattered them on the face of the earth, and that's where nations began. The languages were developed, the geographical locations were claimed, and as they began there, they were known as the Gentile nations. And then chapter 12 is the beginning of the Jewish nation, and that is Abraham. So there you have, and I said last Sunday night, there is a principle that always holds true all the way through the Bible. When you find nations, plural, it always refers to Gentiles, because there was many. When it uses the word nation, it means Israel. Israel. Unless it's dealing with a specific Gentile nation, like Egypt or whatever. But if it's dealing in general, nations refer plurality to the Gentiles. Nation, singular, normality, it refers to the nation of Israel. So that's where we have. So God's intention was to use the Gentile nation to be reached by the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation, the God of Abraham, was to lead and bring all other nations to the God of Abraham. It didn't happen. They paganized. Children of Israel were the worst pagan worshipers. Even some of their kings, like Manasseh, was worse than all the other kings around him, the pagan kings. And so there's a few bright spots. David, and for the first half of Solomon, things went well. And a few others, Asa and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Josiah, a few good kings in the south, in Judah, but other than that, totally pagan. And they failed. They failed. And the Old Testament ended. The Old Testament ended with Israel back in their land, but only 40,000-50,000. That's all that came back. The rest of them wasn't interested in coming back. And they stayed scattered all over the different empire at that time of Rome. They didn't come back home. We helped rebuild the wall and helped rebuild the temple and all of that. Sacrifices were, but they were offering. If they had an old sick lamb laying out there, that's what they offered. Read Malachi, that's what they did. That's what they did. That was the people after captivity, after they were chastised. Boy, that nation of Jews were so corrupt, stiff, and yet God loved them. And they were His chosen people. So the nations of the world. Now, nations are made up of families. Families. Any nation is only strong as its families. And one of the five things that collapsed the Roman Empire was the collapse of the family. Just, you can read it in Roman history. One of the reasons that the Roman Empire collapsed is because of the collapse of the family. So, as nations were used of God to discipline Israel and try to correct Israel, it didn't happen. In 70 AD, Rome came in and totally destroyed Israel and burned it, and it wasn't rebuilt for several centuries. And did not become a nation again until 1948. And there's been chaos and confusion and corruption in the Middle East ever since Israel was recognized as a nation once again. Now, that was the beginning of nations and a nation. And with God's program, we know why He began with the nation. But it failed tremendously. Now, we know when Jesus comes back from heaven, in Genesis, get my mind here quick, in Matthew chapter 25, we studied it a few weeks ago, there's going to be what's called the judgment of nations. He's going to judge nations. And there'll be those on the left, which are called the goat nations, and there'll be those on the right hand, which will be called the sheep nations. And the goat nations will be destroyed at that moment. Nations will be destroyed and annihilated and will not be permitted to exist. That's a second coming. And the sheep nations are permitted to enter into with him into what we call the millennial kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years. And they're called the sheep nations. We're not in any way going to name countries, nations, because the Bible doesn't name who they are, who the sheep nations are. But the judgment is based, and the determination is based between the goat and the sheep on how they related to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, according to the blessing that God gave to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And the Jews have been a hated people all down through the century since Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. So who they are, we have no idea. But the basis of determination is how they treated the Jews and how they treated and how they had a heart to help people, help the poor, giving a glass of water, giving some clothing, giving something to eat. That's what Jesus went through, that long dialogue. As much as you did it for them, you will have done it for me. And so that's the basis of determining. Now remember, this is not spiritual salvation. There is no such thing as a national salvation. There's national repentance, which doesn't mean everybody repents, but it's national repentance. There's been great awakenings, which are very similar to national repentances in different countries. Wales had one back in the 1800s, and other countries have had great awakenings. It would be like a national repentance, but not every person in the nation repented. The nation is known repentant, and there's going to be a national repentance of the Jews. That doesn't mean every Jew is going to repent. So that's not a national salvation as we know spiritually. Spiritual salvation is personal and has been from the time of Adam, through Abel, then Seth, and down through. Salvation, spiritual, is personal. One-on-one, and always has been, never national. So when it spoke about the saving of the nations back in Revelation 21, it meant the preservation of nations, not spiritual. Okay? Now, so we find nations going into the millennial reign of Christ to serve with him. During this period of time, we will be in our glorified bodies. When he comes back in Revelation 19, when he comes back, we come back with him. And we are in our glorified state and our glorified body, and we will serve with him for 1,000 years. His throne will be in Jerusalem. The city will be known as the Lord is there. We will rule in our glorified bodies over the world through Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. And that's going to be what's called a theocracy. God ruling over the affairs of man in the person of Christ. A theocracy government. God ruling. So that will end in 1,000 years. That will end. And we found out and we read what happens after the 1,000 years. But before we go back over to Revelation, to get another revelation that I just saw this past week, we want to go back to Zechariah where we left off last week. And we have a passage in Isaiah as well. Because we know there's going to be nations in the millennial. But we also know from the book of Revelation there's going to be nations in eternity. In eternity. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. It's our home. It's where the people of faith will live in that home. It's about 1,325 miles square, high, broad, and it's big. And there's going to be a wall around it. 213 feet wide wall around it. It's going to be, many believe it's going to be hanging in space, about like that space station up there. That space station, just hanging up there in space. People up there walk around on, working on it. God dropped his mirror the other day. I don't know where it would hit. Something hit you on the head this week, you know what it was. But anyway, many of the theologians believe that our home, our eternal home, we studied it, the walls and the foundations of it, and the gates of it and everything, what they symbolically picture. And many believe that's going to be hanging out in space, not sitting up on anything. We'll have access in and out of it. But anyway, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, through the rest of the chapter to conclude Zechariah, has to do with the millennial kingdom. Remember, there's sheep nations that have entered into it. Human life will continue. Now, we know that sheep nations will go into it, as well as we know that there will be human life that will be preserved, not spiritually, but will be preserved physically coming out of the tribulation period. We know that from Matthew chapter 24. God stepped in and stopped the tribulation so that human life will be preserved to enter in, to reproduce and repopulate the earth again in this 1,000-year reign. So there's going to be people on the earth in natural bodies like you and I, and then we're going to be here on this earth. The earth curse is going to be lifted, and it's going to return back to the way it was before the flood, the atmosphere and things. But we're going to be in our glorified body while they're in their physical body, and we are going to rule over them under the theocracy of Christ in Jerusalem. Now, so, as this begins and his kingdom is set up, and nations enter into it, we begin reading again in verse 16. I've got to go quick because that clock back there is not my friend. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, even shall go up from year to year to worship the King of the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. These people that are left of the nations, nations went against Israel. Israel went against Jerusalem, fought against them in the tribulation period. The people that are left, the nations that are left, them are the sheep nations, will go up from year to year, and the reason they're going to go up to Jerusalem year to year is to worship the King and to keep, and this is the important aspect of our study tonight, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, we're not going to take the time to turn back there. But in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, the seven feast days of the Judaizers' religion are listed. The Feast of Tabernacles is in Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 33 through 44. That's where it's listed. And all of the activity of it. It was held every year on October the 15th. It was held during the time of harvest. And we're going to explain more about that in just a moment. Now, verse 17, notice that there is going to be rebellion. But the rebellion will not be permitted openly. The rebellion will only be held internally. Until the 1,000-year reign is over, that's how Satan has such a hold and influence as he turns many, as the sand is upon the sea, against God and his people. We read about it. We read about it. After the 1,000 years over, Satan is released and he goes out and deceives the nations. They follow him and so forth. Why? Because there is rebellion under the theocracy of Jesus Christ and his government during the millennial reign of Christ. It's not going to be permitted to be openly. There's no open rebellion. It's only in here. It's like the teacher says to little Johnny, "Johnny, sit down." And he says, "No." She says, "Johnny, sit down or I'm going to whoop." We used to say whoop you. And he says, "No, I'm not sitting down." So she walked over to him with the ruler and says, "Johnny, sit down or I'm going to give you this." And he sits down and looks up at her and says, "I'm sitting down, but in here I'm standing up." Don't you learn that, Wyatt. Just joking. That's what's going to be going. That's what's going to happen. Because in verse 17, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. There, what they're going to get, it's going to be an eternal rebellion. They're just absent. We're not going to Jerusalem. Just like people today. It's Sunday, but I'm not going to church. This is the Lord's day, but I'm going to do my own thing. These newscasters on Sunday morning, good day to get out and mow this morning. Good weather to go golfing this morning. Good weather to get out on the water today. Good weather. They never mention church. No. Oh, boy. Rebellion. In here. They will not go up. We are not going up. Now remember, a perfect government, a perfect theocracy, Christ ruling, they're living their human life like we're living our human life today. We'll be here as the armies, we're called the armies of God when Jesus comes back in Revelation 19, and we will rule with him over the nations of the world as it repopulates itself. But there's going to be inner rebellion. And they will not and refuse to go up to worship and to attend this feast day. Now there are 7 feast days. Now we studied this months ago, that during the millennium there will be a temple rebuilt. Sacrifices will resume by the nation of Israel in Jerusalem. That's clearly given in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40 through chapter 48. Talks about all the feast days, talks about all the sacrifices, talks about all the priesthood. All of that's going to resume in the millennium. In the millennium for 1,000 years. But the feast day that's indicated in this passage of inner rebellion, and not openly, is the feast of tabernacles. And the result of that is those people are going to get no rain. Now rain can be symbolic, and I'm not going to get into that. It's not my purpose tonight. But anyway, many uses some suggestions. If, he doesn't say they will, but if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. And there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of, he says it again, feast of tabernacles. Now there was the feast of Passover, feast of Pentecost. There were 7 feast days. This was the last one of the year because it was the harvest time. October the 15th, every year. This shall be, in verse 19, the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all the nations that, there he says it again, comes not up to the feast of Tabernacles. That's all we're going to read there because of time. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was established in the wilderness when God gave Moses the ceremonial law. And one time out of the year, and they were to practice this once they got into the land of Canaan, conquered the land, occupied it, divided it up in different 12 tribes, they were to practice this feast day in October. It was harvest time. It's like what we have today, Thanksgiving. And it was a 7-day feast, and then continued into the 8th, and there's a lot of things about that, and it's not my purpose tonight. I just want to say this. What they had to do on this day, they had to leave, listen. They had to leave the comfort of their home. They had to go out somewhere by themselves and get some pieces of wood and build a lean-to shack and live in it. And that's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And the place where God met with them was called a tabernacle. A tabernacle. A tabernacle. The temple was built, but wasn't man's. It wasn't God's idea, it was man's idea. And it took on man's name. God honored it. God used it. It was supposed to be called the house of prayer. They made it a den of thieves. It carried the identity of man, and all three that we know carried the identity of man, not God. And when Jesus came, he had to clean it two times for sure, maybe three. He had to cleanse it. They turned it into a den of thieves, a tabernacle. The tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacles. Now, can you imagine tonight that when November comes and we practice our faith, that when Thanksgiving week comes, we leave the comfort of our home and we go out in the field and we get an old tent and a blanket and we go out and sleep in that tent on the ground for a week under that tent. How many people would do that? That was to remind the people, number one, this is where God lives, in the tabernacle. This is where we meet God. That was called the meeting place in the tent. That was the original. The meeting place. It was the tent. Then it became the tabernacle. They had to rear it, and then when God said move, they had to take it down, and then set it, erect it back up again, and then tear it down. Part of the priests, the Kohathites, was responsible for doing all of that in the priesthood. But it was a symbol. This is your God. Second, it was to remind them where God brought them from. Americans have forgot what God has done for them. Americans have forgot what God has done for them. Yep. The Feast of Tabernacles. And there's more. There's a lot more, but I don't have time. You can look it up on yourself. Get you a good Bible study dictionary and study the Feast of Tabernacles. It is a tremendous feast day. And many believe that's going to be when Christ comes back. It's going to be during October, middle of October. Many of them have even set dates. I knew a preacher in Belfry that set that date for Christ to return in October. October came and went, and Christ didn't come. And the preacher made a big boo-boo. Now, but I want to stress this. They said, we are not going. Why? This is a Jewish holiday. This is a Jewish feast day. This has something to do with the Jewish people. We live under, remember, Mr. Egypt and other nations that are in here. It indicates Egypt is going to be one of the countries, nations that might be in the millennial kingdom. It mentions them by name. I'm not suggesting they are, but it mentions them by name. But there's not only going to be no rain, there's going to be pestilences. There's going to be punishment of nations that don't go up. These people are in inner rebellion because they are living under a theocracy and they're living under a Jewish rule. This kingdom is a fulfillment of David. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And that was rehearsed again to Mary by Gabriel in Luke chapter 2. This is going to be a Jewish kingdom. This is going to be led by the Jewish King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we, as his bride, will be with him. We're not called the bride right now at that time. We're called his armies. And we will serve with him and we will rule with him. And there will be people that will have the authority over 10 cities. There will be other people that will have authority over 5 cities in the millennial kingdom, depending on what they did for Christ in the church age, depends on what they do in the millennial kingdom, just like the nations. I've already claimed some of my cities. I can't wait to throw the dictators out. It's going to be a perfect time. But there's going to be some say, we're not going. We're not going. It's like people today that have absolutely no interest in God. You know that. I had a funeral of a man. I never met him. Never met the man. Didn't know anything about him. I was called and asked to have the funeral. I talked to some of the family members because that's a hard case. That's hard to preach. I never preached anybody into heaven. But if I knew them as a church member or somebody close to me and knew their faith, I always mentioned that in the message. But no, nothing. And I asked the family, did this guy go to church? No. Never went to church? No. Did he go to church when he grew up? Nope. Never went to Sunday school? Nope. Never stepped foot in a church? Nope. Unless it was for a wedding or funeral. Never went to church at all. Never. Nope. Unbelievable. Not any kind of church. Not any. No association with God whatsoever. I'm going to live my life and I don't want any association with God. That's sad. And that's what it's going to be. And that's why when Satan is released at the end of this 1,000 years, he's going to have such an easy persuasion to lead nations. And the number is as the sand of the sea. He's going to lead them by deception against us, the armies of God. Why? Because there's going not open. There'll be no open revolt. There'll be no protesters in the city. There'll be no protesters walking up and down and putting chalk blocks in the middle of cities. Not in Christ's kingdom there won't be. Not in Christ's rule there won't be. We're going to be the army that rules the countries and mayors of the cities and rules his government for him. And there's going to be nations that don't like that. And who they are, we have no idea. No idea. And I want you to see that. But what the provocative anger in their heart was seemed to be this Feast of Tabernacles. People don't want to leave the luxury of their blessed life and have some hardship. People are spoiled. You know what freedom has done to a lot of the world that was behind the Iron Curtain? It has spoiled them. It has spoiled them. Not all, but a lot. It has spoiled them. Now, so there it is. That's what's going to happen during the millennium. Now, very quickly with me, turn back to the book of Isaiah chapter 60. And this chapter comes right before chapter 61. Because 60 comes before 61, right? And 61 is the announcement that Christ quoted this in the synagogue in Nazareth. He quoted this. When Christ began his public ministry, he quoted this verse right here from Isaiah chapter 61. Now, it talks about kingdoms in here. I'm going to read this and I'm going to go very quickly. I'm not even going to stop. You can read this in your own time. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's got 22 verses. This is a chapter where you don't know many times where he's at. Is he in the past? Is he in the present? Or is he in the future? Is he talking about the millennial kingdom? Or is he talking about the eternal? And it's very difficult. And I don't have the time to try to sort it out. And I don't know if I could. Or even try to attempt it. That's why I told Frosty Wednesday night after the Bible study, I said, I didn't deal with those two verses because I don't know if he's talking about the people, literally, if he's talking about Jews and Gentiles, or I don't know if he's talking about the results, or if he's talking about what happens. It's very difficult when it's not clear, and I don't want to speculate. That's why I didn't deal with those two verses. In detail. I'm not isolating them or ignoring them. I'm just saying, very complicated. When that's like that, it's best just to leave it as it states it and move on. And some verses in the Bible and some passages in the Bible, even the deep theologians of the past, just when it comes to it in their commentaries, there's a white blank space about that long. And then they pick up again after. They never dealt with it at all. Because they didn't. They didn't know what to say about it. Now, let's read it very quick. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. I believe this is the millennial. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed by thy side concerning Israel. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because the abundance of the sea hath not water. As population, as people. The abundance of the sea shall be converted. I've never seen a body of water ever get converted. Did you? Huh? So there you see, the sea is symbolic of the human race. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The force of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of the Midian and Ephah, all they are from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold, incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. There shall come up with acceptance of mine honor. I will glorify the house of my glory. I believe all of this is about the millennium. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as a dove to their windows? Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver, their gold with them unto the name of the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. That's exactly what it says in Revelation 21. And this is eternity. Thy gates shall be open continually, shall not be shut by day. Now we get into eternal terminology. Now we're getting into terminology that is explained in Revelation 21 of nations in eternity. That's why I'm saying part of this referring to the millennial, some of it indicates it's referring to the eternal. Gates shall not be open continually, they shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee, and that's exactly what it says, the nations shall bring their glory and honor into the city. That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. That's exactly what Revelation says, but that's eternity, not the millennium. For the nation and kingdom, here it is, here's the rebellion. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. That's a millennial. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. All they despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord. The Zion, the Holy One of Israel. I believe again, this is back to the millennium. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, this is the nation of Israel. As no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency. There he uses the word eternal. A joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles. And shall suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Violence shall be no more, be heard in thy land. Wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt be called thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more. Oh boy. That's eternal terminology again. The sun shall be no more thy light and day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. That's eternal terminology. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes he's in the millennial, sometimes he's in the eternal. The sun shall no more go, verse 20, the sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thy everlasting light. And all thy days and thy morning shall be ended. And the people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a strong one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Chapter 60 is all prophetic about a kingdom. And then chapter 61, the king comes, but they crucify him. All about a kingdom. And kingdoms, and respect for God's kingdom by the other kingdoms, the other nations. And sometimes it's eternal terminology, and other times it's millennial terminology. So he's in and out. He's in the future. He's in, of course, for us now, all of this is in the future. Now, out of the millennial kingdom, I want to read that. Now we're going to flip back very quickly to Revelation. Coming out of that period of time, Revelation chapter 20, coming out of that beautiful bliss of millennial reign of Christ, the theocracy of God over the world, and we know there's going to be rebellion because people will not go up, people will not worship, People will not go to the feast day of tabernacles. People will not. Many of them will be under plagues. Many of them will be punished because of it during the millennial reign. But no open and outward rebellion. It's all eternal. But watch what happens as soon as that period of time is over. Revelation 20, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. Them coming out of that's coming out of this millennial reign. And I've watched this breed itself among people. I've watched rebellion breed itself among people. It is a dangerous virus. It's a hidden virus until you taste the blunt force of it. Rebellion. And boy, when you taste the blunt of it, it doesn't taste very good. No open rebellion. But boy, it's in their hearts. Look how easy and how quickly they're deceived after coming out of that beautiful period of time. Simply because they didn't like the kingdom, they didn't like the theocracy, they didn't like the feast days. I'm not going to pray to worship him. I'm not going to go up to that feast day. I'm not going to participate. And they didn't go. And that bread for 1,000 years. And Satan deceives them. And there they go. Into eternal darkness. Now watch who they can't go after God, so who do they go after? Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. They're going to make war with us. We're in our eternal bodies. They compassed about the saints about the beloved city. That city. That's Jerusalem on earth, not the new heaven. And fire came down out of God, out of heaven, and devoured them. It didn't take long. That's it. And that's the end of that. Now, like coming out of the trib, there were sheep nations to enter into the millennial. Coming out of the millennial, there will also be nations that will enter into the eternal. You say, explain that. Wouldn't have a clue. But I will read this for you tonight, and then we'll go home, and we'll try to explain it next week. I got to scratch my head a few times this week. I'm learning myself. When I wrote the commentary on Revelation, I never dealt with this. And I wrote that several years ago. And I've taught it several years. This is the first time I've ever taught this on nations. I've never taught this before. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. There's no symbolic language there. It's all literal. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. That's the tree that was in the garden, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit. It's a different kind of fruit every month. Yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Anybody want to explain that? Now there is, I'm not going to get into this, but I'll just say there is healing power. The Indians used to use it in natural herbal things. Still works today in natural things, organic things. I'm not saying that's what this is. But these leaves, now just remember, it's a tree of life. It bears 12 different fruits. One different fruit each month. and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I believe we can explain it somewhat a little bit. This is eternity. It's all over. So there's going to be nations in eternity that come out of the millennial kingdom that followed. And one of them is going to be Israel in eternity. And they followed, and they didn't rebel. They followed the program of the theocracy and came out of it victoriously. But they're wounded. They're wounded. There's going to be healing of nations. So we're going to put that in part next Sunday night with the river, the tree, the fruit, and all of that. Try to bring it all together and tie it up and see if we can get something for our hearts next week. Nations was ordained by God, not man. And so they're going to be in eternity. All right, at this time we'll say goodnight to our Facebook friends. Thank you for connecting with us this morning and again tonight. We appreciate it. And we'll be back again Wednesday night sometime after 7:15. 7:15, 7:20, somewhere in that area. We apologize for not being able to be on last Wednesday night. We will be on this Wednesday night streaming live sometime around 7:15, 7:20. Till then, stay safe, my friend, and may you be blessed. We'll disconnect at this time. All right. Thank you for coming out tonight. I don't know about you, but it's warm in here. Well, I got warm anyway. Oh, we got a great future in eternity. When you read that, you just, I don't know what it does for you, but you just long to want to go there. You just, there's something inside your soul that just, that's, I believe that's the Holy Spirit, that yearning, that you just want to get there and get out of here. All right, but until then, we have to stay faithful. And to stay faithful, we have to stay safe and healthy. And so anyway, the Lord bless you and give you a good week. Stay cool the best that you can. Shall we stand? I want to thank Cindy and Wanda for that beautiful song. That stirred my soul in order to preach tonight. Music prepares your heart for worship. That's what music, it prepares your heart for worship. And that was a great song tonight. You did a great job. Thank you. Next week, next Sunday, all of our musicians, we will have a patriotic service. Come prepared to sing, play an instrument or whatever you want to do. If you want to do it as a group or whatever you want to do. So we'll have about a 15, 20 minute or longer if we want program of good old patriotic songs next Sunday morning as we observe for the 4th of July. Father, thank you for this blessed day you've given us in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness to be with us. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson this morning, Brother Frosty, our morning service, and again tonight. You're good to us, far greater than what we ever deserve. If we got what we deserved, it wouldn't be pretty. And Lord, we thank you for your grace tonight that loved us and gave it yourself to us. And thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. Protect us, keep us safe as a church family. Watch over this ministry, we pray. And continue to use it, not only in the four corners of this building, but far beyond, around the world. This church is reaching into different homes and communities, and we thank you for that. So bless thy word as it has went out today. Bring forth fruit for thy glory. Dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.